state's not really.
Okay. Well, God bless you. Today is Sunday, March 31st, 2019. This morning, I wanted to share on our expectations we can have from our searching of the Scriptures. Since Genesis chapter 3, the adversary's great aim has been to get rid of the Word of God, so we have no standard for the truth, no standard for life, no standard for living, no standard for blessings. There is a command in the pastoral epistles, which are how to take care of the assemblies of the children of God, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed or put to the blush, rightly dividing the word of truth." As most of us know, the word translated study is the Greek word spoudazo, which means to exercise oneself earnestly, diligently, and promptly. The word is translated in other verses as forward to do, endeavoring, do thy diligence, or be diligent or labor. In reference to promptly, it refers to our timeliness to study the word, not putting it off. What you can know and understand, live it and teach it now. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. The idea of brevity of time refers to our communication skills when teaching others what we have studied, not allowing yourself to just ramble on, but to provide a good, solid teaching for people that they can follow, and not so long that, like Eutychus, you fall slumber and fall out the window, and then somebody has to come over and raise you up. And ministers should be prompt and timely in their study of the Scriptures, giving all diligence to earnestly arrive at God's Word in its accuracy. 1 and 2 Timothy are epistles which instruct, warn, and exhort ministers, more specifically for the teaching ministries of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All gift ministries have to teach whether or not they have the ministry of a teacher. Timothy was instructed to do the work of an evangelist, but although I don't see in the Word where it ever says that he had that particular ministry, but he was to do it. All ministers are commanded, though, to exert a diligent, timely effort in the study of the Scriptures. Additionally, their conduct should reflect the quality and caliber of truth, the accuracy of the Word that ministers study and teach and live, demonstrate their approval before God as workmen of the Word. Therefore, they're well suited to teach others. Approved is the word dokimos. In the ancient world, there was no banking system as we know it today, and no paper money. All money was made from metal, heated until it was liquid, then poured into molds and allowed to cool. Then it was necessary to smooth off the uneven edges. It's like when I make waffles, and I use the waffle iron, and I mix the batter, and I pour it in. I wind up getting waffle beyond waffle, so I have to cut the edges off so it looks pretty decent on the plate. Since the coins were comparatively soft, many would shave them closer than was needed. And in one century, more than 80 laws were passed in Athens to stop the practice of whittling down the coins then in circulation, because the coins were supposed to be sort of a specific weight, and they would cut off all the extra and, you know, save that and print another coin for themselves. But some money changers were men of integrity who would not accept any counterfeit money. They were men of honor who put on genuine full-weight money into circulation. Such men were called dokimos. And their word is, and this word is used here for the minister as he is to be seen by others. It is a declaration that you are a true minister and that the gift ministry and the operation in your life is of God. Putting an A in front of dokimos, which with a lot of words in Greek, it makes it just the opposite. It gives you the antithesis. Like, for instance, dokimos would be adokimos or adokimos. Contrary to adokimos means not standing the test, not approved, that which does not prove itself such as it ought. It's unfit, reprobate, worthless, literally or morally. You could also see it used in 1 Corinthians 9:27 as to be a castaway, 2 Timothy 3:8 as men of corrupt minds who are reprobate, Titus 1:16. They deny God with their abominable and disobedient unto every good work. They are reprobate. Rightly dividing means to make straight and smooth, to handle aright, to teach the word of truth directly and correctly. Naturally, with the word in the heart of the minister, he or she would conduct their lives in accordance with godliness, which is, as we have been working, an awe of God in well-directed actions, pleasing to God. Like when it says in regard to the road in Isaiah in chapter 57, verse 14, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of my people. Make the path to Christ smooth, straight, and even, so there's no stumbling blocks in the way, but it's very easy to follow. 2 Timothy 2:15 is addressed to ministers, those teaching in the body of Christ, according to the scope shown in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body unto the fullness of the body of Christ. Then what should members in particular, the believers, those that are sitting under the teaching and hearing it, be willing to do? To keep the accuracy of the word alive in their lives, to accomplish what it is set in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, which reads, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by the measure which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Having received the word from adokimos, what can the body of Christ do to make sure the truth is not being shaved down? Well, anyone can be a dokimos. And of course, there is no commandment forbidding any believer from studying the word as a minister is accountable to do. Shouldn't every member in the body of Christ look into the word of God? Shouldn't every believer have a Bible and read it? We know from the pastoral epistles that the word is profitable to equip the minister so that he or she would have everything they would need to live godly and teach godliness. Even though that is a pastoral epistle, God withholds no good thing from anyone. All believers who look to the scriptures to set earnest expectations, it's available for you to do that kind of a work. In Acts chapter 17 gives us great information as to how these members in particular can work to accomplish Ephesians 4:14 through 16 and verses 11 and 12. Gives the finest example of a group of believers going to the Word to make the truth their own. In Acts 17:11, it tells us, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched Anacreno for a judgment, the scriptures daily, whether those things are so." Since the believers in Thessalonica are mentioned in this verse, before going into detail about verse 11, I want to read 1 Thessalonians 2:13, because they're mentioned there about the believing ones in Thessalonica, so we don't get misled about the believers in the Thessalonian believers. "For this cause," 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe." That's a pretty high appraisal of the ones who believed in Thessalonica, so don't want you to misunderstand that. He's not bad-mouthing them. The record in Acts 17:11 and 1 Thessalonians 2:13 are speaking of the Judeans who believed, because remember, Paul, as he was want to do, or how he liked to operate, was go to the temple, and like in Thessalonica, he spent 3 Sabbath days teaching with them out of this that Jesus was the Christ, and giving them the different scriptures and things in the Old Testament to prove that he was the Christ. Back to Acts 17:11. "Every usage of noble in the word refers to fleshly nobility, or nobility by a birthright. The Greek word means to be well-born, or of a noble family or race. According to scriptural usage, noble does not once imply a spiritual depth of heart, rather a fleshly status. The phrase "in that" serves to give a reason. Paul is giving a reason why the Bereans searched the scriptures, whereas the Thessalonians must not have. He is not in any way casting aspersions or throwing shade on the Thessalonians, on the receptive hearts of the believing ones in Thessalonica, whom he had spoken of so very highly. They received it as it is in truth, the word of God. But the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians in that, or reason being, they were born of a noble family. They were well-born family, and were thought to be polite and welcoming to all. They respectfully listened and enjoyed conversation and entertained new ideas. Those of noble birth were considered to be dutiful with the social graces. I remember back when I was looking at colleges in my senior year in high school, they had certain colleges that they referred to as liberal arts college, and they were supposed to be along this line, this teaching, not protesting and fighting and all that other stuff. But they were to be able to listen to new ideas and then check them out. Additionally, Paul's reasonings of God's word touched their hearts as it did the hearts of the believing ones in Thessalonians. What a great testimony to the humility of the Bereans' nobility. We know from the scriptures that not many noble are called, 1 Corinthians 1:26, meaning that not many noble will look beyond what they already think they know. And that becomes a stumbling block to them. "Received" is the word dekomai. In addition to meaning to receive, it also means to grant access to a visitor, to receive favorably, give ear, not refuting or refusing dialogue, not rejecting. This same word is used of the Thessalonian believers who received the word of God that they heard of Paul and Silas and maybe even Timothy. The Bereans received Paul's word graciously. In nature, the Bereans were very different from the ignoble Thessalonian Jews who did not believe. The Bereans not only listened to and received the apostles' teaching, but they examined the scriptures in the Old Testament. They went through to look at what the Messiah was supposed to be like, the anointed one, the Christ. and they wanted to see how that fit concerning Jesus, who Paul taught, fit with those very different, various different scriptures that they had access to in the scrolls, to see if his words were validated by the Old Testament prophecies. Paul being an effective minister, the Bereans must have sensed the spiritual importance, so they made it their daily business to investigate and evaluate Paul's words. The apostle's short time in Berea resulted in the conversion of many. Acts 17:12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks or Gentiles, and of men, not a few. Consequently, because of this, many believed. They received the word and proved the word and took action to speak the word with the intentions of winning others. In 1 Peter 3:15, it tells us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Because they wanted to look at it regarding the coming Messiah, which he told them that Christ was the one they looked for, and he was the anointed one, and they wanted to be ready to give. Be ready to do something. In this situation, be ready to give an answer, a statement of truth. If you have not searched the scriptures, will you be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you? You can't really adequately express what someone else has taught until you put some thought into the subject. And for us, our hope is the return of Christ. And are gathering together unto him. And we do it with mildness and gentleness of spirit. The words we speak are energized by the love of God. We speak out of our awe and reverence for God and his word of truth that he has given his mighty power to his children, and that we have his manifold variegated grace to help in time of need. If you have gotten out of the habit of searching the scriptures, you may want to make a change. Consider, in Christ we have much more going on in us than fleshly nobility by birthright. Our birthright is of God. We have the abilities of the gift of Holy Spirit. Why would we not desire to search the scriptures to make those things taught our own, with the Spirit of God at work within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure? The Bereans weren't looking to disprove what Paul said, but to see how what he said fit with the word. They sensed within themselves he was the real deal, and they sought to make sure. We should be the same way. They were well-bred, more educated in behavior and manners. They were well-spoken in language, educated in social skills, not snobbish, people who felt comfortable no matter who they were with. Their behavior was considered correct or polite. I think of the great value of receiving training in etiquette. It's a great thing to know etiquette. In various situations, I am able to be comfortable in my own skin because I know how to behave myself in any mix of people. Knowing and being comfortable with the social graces frees up our attention to ourselves and allows us to keep our minds on those we are with and on the meaningful conversation we have with them. We search the scriptures to see how verses fit with the topic and how the verses relate to other verses in the Word. Through reading the Bible, we build a scope of the Word of God. We search the Word to build our repertoire of truths and gain versatility to interrelated verses. You may think of verses that seem to fit with a subject, but the context may nullify the interrelationship. Sometimes it can take some investigative work to come up with the right dividing of the word. But what you will take away in growth and maturity will be valuable to you in all things as you navigate life, especially as we walk in love, walk as children of light, and walk circumspectly like Connie taught last week. our expectations from searching the Scriptures and proving the Word for ourselves is in Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like to read that verse 14 again. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The adversary has got a big head start on deceiving the world and trying to get rid of the Word of God, so we have no standards. And a lot of the standards you can see in our culture have already changed, even among Christians, and what Christians say and what Christians believe. Let's look at another verse about searching the Scriptures, where their view of the Scriptures was corrupted by their own erroneous thinking or suppositions. And Jesus exhorts them to go back and redo their search of the Scriptures. In John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think," and the word "think" is the word "suppose," "you have eternal life, and they are they without which testify of me." If you forget that they testify of Christ, the one that was expected, the anointed one, the one we are expecting to return, you're going to get corrupted. Unlike the Bereans, the Jews in Jerusalem did not consider Jesus in light of the prophecies regarding the coming Messiah. They basically denied the Scriptures. So they really had no hope. In chapter 5, the Jews at Jerusalem sought to kill Jesus because he told the man at the pool, "Rise up, take up thy bed and walk." This all happened on the Sabbath. It was a sin to carry his bed on the Sabbath, not to mention for Jesus to heal someone on the Sabbath. Also, Jesus said that God was his Father. So these men were on the warpath to try and trip up Jesus to catch him and kill him. They worshiped the Sabbath more than they worshiped the Lord of the Sabbath. In this verse, the Greek for search is different from Acts 17:11, although it has a similar meaning. Jesus was telling the Jews to seek, to search out, investigate, and examine the Scriptures. Think literally means suppose. They were of an opinion that Jesus was a sinner and blasphemous. The first error was these Jews did not believe on the coming Christ, and they did not believe on the prophecies that went before on him, nor the word which testified of him. Had the Jews searched the Scriptures written to them as Jesus instructed, they would not have been lost in false suppositions. Those symbolic scrolls that they tied around their foreheads did not make them spiritual. Had they searched the Scriptures reading the coming of the Messiah, things could have been very different for them. Searching the Scriptures is not for gaining knowledge alone, nor is it an intellectual pursuit. It would involve the study of word or words that would make us more knowledgeable, but it's not for knowledge's sake alone, nor is it to build a biblical vocabulary. Searching is for the nuances that aid the Holy Spirit to lead us to understanding, which in turn leads us to living the Word even more powerfully and more accurately. The Bereans have long been seen as a positive example of how a person or believing community should respond to biblical teaching. No matter who the teacher is, we should examine the teaching for ourselves against the Word of truth in order to make them our own. The practice of the ancient Bereans is a model for all who desire to grow spiritually. And here's the purpose of another expectation to be gained from our search of the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, the New International Version reads, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." In my personal study, I like to use the blueletterbible.org. It's one of my favorites. It offers many tools to read for enjoyment and effortlessly check a word or two words here and there as I move along. even when preparing for teachings, often that is where I begin. You may have a favorite Bible website or even have a Bible app on your computer. There are many choices today for online study, and we should study and we should search the scriptures as we've been instructed to do, as the Word encourages us and teaches us. I used to sit at a table and surround myself with books like a rock star drummer. I had a concordance, a dictionary, various versions of the Bible, interlinear, book of maps, commentaries, etc. But now, so many websites have all of those features and more. Of course, I still have my Kittles and many other searching favorites that I still put out and use. I do want, at this point, to say, God looks upon the heart. If one is seeking, they shall find. If one is knocking, it shall be opened. If one is asking, they shall receive. If there is one who loves God for any reason at all, is unable to search the scriptures, do not as much as entertain the idea that God would withhold any good thing. We read clearly how wonderful the Thessalonian believers were, and it says nothing about them searching the scriptures. They received the word from Paul as though it was the word of God. A person unable to study or search is able to meditate upon the scriptures, meaning that person can revolve those truths around in their mind and contemplate upon the things of God. For the Holy Spirit is still in commission. The point is, wouldn't you want to do as much as you are able to do? For those of us who can and desire to seek to search the scriptures or study the word, it should lead us to walking in love, walking as children of light, and walking circumspectly. Our ultimate expectation in searching and studying the scriptures is that we will become instructed in the right way to live. We don't have to be tossed around with every wind of doctrine. In turn, we'll contribute our unique supply to the building of the one body, being fitly joined together. Next Sunday, we'll be in Texas officiating a wedding, and then on across the state to visit some beloved ones before we head back home. We'll teach on the road, but it not be on the website before Monday the 11th or Tuesday the 12th. We appreciate your prayers for our travel, and especially in regard to this wedding, and bless the blessing of the wedding. And next Sunday, I'm going to be teaching again, and I want to go into a specific record from the Gospels that showed an individual who searched the Scriptures. Now, this man was blind, but he was able to, you know, take the Word and meditate upon it, roll those Scriptures around in his mind, and be blessed. So that's what we'll do next week. God bless you.